I'm all worked up. It's the news, according to me. Good evening. It's evening again, 9:40 Eastern Standard Time. I realize it's late for those of you on the East Coast. It's 8:40 where I'm at, and of course it's, 6:40, I guess, on the West Coast. The Left Coast, as it's called. A lot going on. Whole lot going on. And none of it's going on in my cup. All I have is water today. That's all I got tonight. I have to kind of be careful what I drink in the evenings. I don't like drinking stuff that's too sweet in the evenings. I thought about getting some iced chai or something like that. Because I kind of like that. But that just didn't happen. So I brushed my teeth and decided I'm just going to go with the water this evening. So that's all there is. Not very exciting. However, there are a lot of exciting things going on in general with, I don't know what you'd call the news cycle. The way the news cycle's been going, I'm probably going to have to change the name of this show. It's probably going to be called something different, like The Rant, according to me. The news according to my rant. I just feel like I'm ranting all the time anymore. There are a few things that get me really wound up that the government starts doing. And this is one of them. The whole issue on guns. Because the left is so ignorant. These people who make statements and go on about their self-righteousness is just on display for all to see. And they have no self-awareness. Zero. Negative self-awareness. They are so plugged without any understanding. Their ignorance is on display for everyone. And they don't even realize it. And unfortunately, because they run on total emotion. They don't run on any kind of facts or figures or numbers or data. What they think is science is just what they feel like at the moment. Yeah, I'm worked up about it. It's absolutely disgusting, and what gets me is this affects people's lives. Isn't it interesting, for example, right after a pandemic, when the government has the ability to crack down, and they get this taste of absolute power over us, and they understand how compliant the American people will be, how much we want to join in and be a part of society and do the right thing, and they can manipulate us with that so easily. So now, a crazy kid gets a hold of some guns, strangely enough. And through the incompetence of those around, this kid is able to get into a school and shoot way too many children and just shoot children and kill teachers. And here we go. This is not going to be the George Floyd event, but it is an event that they're going to capitalize on. If the Republicans were smart in this issue, they would not be caving like they are. But they are caving. Because they think that public opinion is not on their side, or not on their, they don't, all they care about is being in office. Okay, you have to understand, they don't care about doing the right thing. They're going to ride the wave. There are so many people in history, in Republican history, who have just ran on the Republican ticket because that was the one they knew they could win in that particular district. They would say all the right things and get into office because they wanted to be the big cheese. They wanted the office. They didn't care about doing the right thing. Joe Scarborough, for example, who was a Republican in office, is obviously no longer a Republican. Morning Joe, he's married to Mika Brzezinski or Zinski or whatever her name is, who is a complete, total leftist. He does whatever she says, and he has completely abandoned the Republican Party. He's no longer a Republican at all. He was never a Republican. That's the problem. He was an establishment guy who ran and wanted to be in power. Of course, then when he you realize that a woman died, I believe, in his office. Under very suspicious circumstances. And he got away with it. He somehow just Hillary Clinton right out of that one. Now, people talk about Hillary Clinton, and it's like with this Sussman trial, and how slippery she is. She's always been able to, I just heard Dinesh D'Souza say today, she always seems to stay one step ahead of the posse. Well, I got to tell you, you can outrun the posse, but at the end of the road, there is a God that you will not outrun. The most merciful thing that could happen to Hillary Clinton on this earth is that she would get caught and face her punishment now and have an opportunity to repent. She will get away with all this stuff for as long as she thinks she's going to get away with it, which is going to be a blip of time compared to all of eternity. Now, maybe you're a leftist and you think that Hillary Clinton is the most wonderful person on the planet, and that she's such a good person that she deserves to go to heaven, and that God has blessed her and is going to continue to bless her, and that she's just the next thing to an angel. Go ahead and believe that. Because it really doesn't matter what you believe about her, really. What matters is what God is going to say about her at the end of the road. When we all stand on our own before God, each person individually is going to have to give an account of their life. And I know I have no business representing myself. I am counting on, I'll just say, my great lawyer, my great advocate, the one who has ransomed me, basically, the one who's stepped in and taken my punishment for me. No doubt that I deserve that punishment. The difference now is that when God looks at me, he sees his son. The couple things that have happened in the news cycle today that have kind of set me off a little bit that need some explaining. Before I get into the whole gun issue, which I will go further into that, I'm sure everything was going to keep funneling back to that. First of all, Roman Balmakov, he's the guy with Facts Matter. He's from the Epic Times, but he did a pretty good show this evening. Most of it, the bulk of it pertained to this drug that I think it was Pfizer came out with that was supposed to fight COVID. It was like to fight the symptoms of COVID. Well, it's there was like 30 pills you're supposed to take over the course of like 5 days. The entire treatment cost over what the government paid for it was over $500 per treatment. It's like it was like $550 per course of treatment. So each pill was like, he broke it down to what it cost. It was a ridiculous amount of money. A pill that cost probably 35 cents to make. And we did like 10 or so. $2 billion they spent on this thing. Or it was over $1 billion. I know that spent that they this contract that they had with Pfizer to provide, maybe it was $10 billion, to provide 900 million courses or whatever it was. He broke it down to basically what it was. It amounted to $500, a little over $500 per treatment. Well, the study, this came out, the study that came out, and this is from the director of the CDC, whatever her name is, the doctor, whatever her name is, Dr. Whoozy What's It. Doesn't really matter what her name is. She came out and announced that yes, there is they have to admit now that this treatment that we just spent all these billions of dollars for, we the people, the taxpayers, spent all this money on it because guess what? They're finding that the treatment, it works to reduce the symptoms. Once the treatment is complete, the symptoms come back. And it's not that you catch COVID. They initially were thinking that the person caught COVID again. Well, it's that this, you know, no, but the problem was you still have COVID. It makes it go dormant and it comes right back. In fact, the viral load after treatment in most cases was higher than those who than they had before before they started taking the treatment. The viral load was higher than before they started taking the treatment after it came back. The symptoms went away for a little while. It worked. And then guess what? They got worse. Why isn't this all over the news? Now, if you would have said something about this during the time that when it came out, you'd have been run off of social media and vilified, and you were a conspiracy guy. However, interestingly enough, the original study now that has been put out from Pfizer showed the very same thing. They knew this when they were putting it out. Now that we have the FOI, Freedom of Information Act, FOIA information, it was obvious that they did know that this was the problem. Now the question is, I always want to know about the money thing. All this money that just went to these people, the Pfizer and Moderna and all these companies that got all this money, ridiculous profits, billions of dollars. What happens now with all that money? You realize these people, they fund many news organizations. They fund a lot of politicians. They have huge lobby groups. And you know, it's not just one company. They have sister companies and associate companies. They fund other things from their company. Any company that big has tentacles that go way deep into all kinds of things. When that kind of money starts flowing around, you can buy people. $1 million for a bureaucrat who makes $100,000 a year. $1 million under the table is a pretty big deal. Most people cave to that kind of money. That's the kind of thing we're dealing with at this point, with these kinds of things. Now, Dinesh D'Souza did put some things to put some pieces together. I was kind of surprised he actually came right out and said he's just outright saying that the FBI was culpable in what happened with the Sussman deal, that they were involved at the highest levels. They were involved in what was going on with the whole Russian, Trump-Russia collusion frame job that went on there. They were involved in it. Speaking of the election in 2020, that was the 2016 election. The 2020 election, by the way, they've now found, I think, 19,000 ballots that were illegally, that were not valid, that they used in the Arizona election. 2,000 mules continues to get traction in terms of the education of some individual. Now, it's not getting very good traction in the media, but there are some politicians that are finding out about this movie, and in fact, most of them haven't seen the movie, but they're just finding out the information that's in the movie and finding out all the studies that were done by True the Vote, which was kind of behind the information where the movie was kind of designed from. And they're very upset about what's gone on. Now, I listened to Glenn Beck on Sunday, this past Sunday. He used to have a show every morning on my local radio station, and I used to listen to him a lot. I stopped listening to him after he kind of went off the deep end during the election, and that was his downfall. He lost a lot of traction. He lost a lot of his audience. Now, I still subscribe to the Blaze News Network. I get their emails. I'm not a paying member or anything like that. I'm not a paying member of Epoch Times, even. Which is kind of frustrating, because a lot of times I'll see a news article. It looks like it'd be kind of interesting. I go to their website. I get the email and I go to their website, and you can only read like the top part of it, and then like half a paragraph. Doesn't give you really any information, and then it goes into the article, and then you have to pay for it to see any more. I'm not doing it. I like the Epoch Times. I would support them with my money, but I'm not going to. That's just my choice. I'm not going to do it. I can find out this information in other ways, and I truly support what they're doing. However, I'm just not going to pay for it. I don't know what it is about it. It's just that just turns me off, and I'm not sure why. Realistically, I probably shouldn't have that attitude, but I do. And I guess maybe my attitude is, well, I get my information from other sources that don't charge me for it. Why are you guys wanting to charge me for it? If this is such an important article that needs to get out to the public, why are you charging me for it? Which, I don't know. I got some kind of weird scruples. I probably need to see the doctor about it. Maybe they got a salve I can get rid of my scruples. The problem is, you know, I look at, you know, like MSNBC and CNN. Of course, they do have paid services, but they give all their information out without their articles and stuff like that, without charging for it. But the problem there is that they're being funded in the backside by all these big companies like Pfizer and Moderna, all the other big money companies. So all this money is sloshing around out there. We've got, you know, billions of dollars going to Ukraine, unquote, going to who knows where over there. Who's writing the checks? What kind of accounts are these funds going into? And then who's paying for what over there? What happens when if they eventually do lose here, or they lose part of the country? Then what? Where's the money going? We are being duped in so many ways right now, folks. No question about it. And how interesting is it that right after the big taste that they got of controlling us and doing all the things that they've done through this whole pandemic era, that they are now reaching out with more of this, I'll call it the power grab. They're power hungry, and they are continuing to go after us with this, anything that they can. And unfortunately, the people who are in control of the House, the Senate, I mean, barely can control that Senate. It's the Senate is where the battle is right now. And of course, they got the presidency, if you want to call it that. Another thing that was just announced today is that there's a college, I guess, in California, the way I understand it, that was Citadel or whatever it was called. I can't remember what the name of the college was. And they owed about $500 million, I think it was the effect it had, or 500,000 students that were affected by this. They are forgiving all of their student loan debt to these people who went to this college. Apparently, this college was pretty nefarious, and the state of California was bringing charges against the college, the university, whatever it was. And they had, I think they had over 100,000 students at one time just enrolled at one point. several different campuses. And that's, you know, that's larger than the town of South Bend, Indiana, where I live pretty close to it. You know, well, Pete Buttigieg's old mayoralship there. That's more than the whole city of South Bend. So that's a large amount of people. When you start putting things in perspective like that, it helps to kind of understand the kind of effect that you're having on people. Now, when we talk about, I want to get into this whole thing with the guns and the shooting and some things that are being talked about and said right now. And please hear me out on this and understand that any child who is shot is a tragedy, and it's one child too many. Innocent children should not be getting shot, killed in any way. Drunk drivers. How many children today were killed by a drunk driver? We won't even hear about that on the news. A drunk driver, you know, like what is this? Is it P. Pelosi? Peter? Is it Peter Pelosi? Paul Pelosi? Whatever his name is. Out driving around, gets in an accident. He was way over the limit. And I'm sure he'll be thrown in jail. I'm sure he's going to get in trouble for that. You know, that was more dangerous than someone carrying a loaded firearm who has a permit, who has more than 10 rounds in their gun. Because that's where they stay, unless there's a problem, and then they get unloaded on somebody. You know, why does a person have to have so many rounds? Well, because when a kid comes through the door with an AR-15 or whatever he's got, I want to put as many bullets in him as I can. Well, I ran out. I only have 5 bullets because that's all they'll let me have. I have to change my magazine now, so now I've got to change that while he's shooting at me. The mere fact that we need that many bullets, Nancy or Joe or whoever else is saying we don't need that many, is simply because that's how many we need however many it takes. That's what the goal is there. You don't see police officers who have their gun. A police officer's gun is primarily there to protect the police officer, not necessarily protect you. That is their job, to protect you. However, they're primarily there. That's there to protect them. They're going into some hazardous, dangerous situations. I got some news for you. Life in general is hazardous and dangerous. The whole point of the Second Amendment is not just to protect ourselves. This is where it gets a little tough, because this sounds like we are insurrectionists. But the founders were very clear. The founders were very clear why we needed a Second Amendment. And it wasn't for hunting. And it wasn't just for self-defense. The founders were very clear that when a government oversteps its bounds, it is our duty to cast off that government. Let me see if I have the notes here that... I think I have somewhere here in my notes exactly what the founders said. Let's see if it's here. It's not there. Let's see. Go back over here to my show notes. Here it is, podcast notes. I have some notes here. I actually wrote some stuff down. What do you know? Let's see what we have here. When in the course of events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Now, this is kind of old English speak here, but bear with me, because the next part of this, I'm sure you've heard part of it. But, oh, you know the thing. Let's see what it actually says. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form, as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. This is a little more clear. Now, I could go through this and break it down, and we could talk about every little part of this. These are the words from the founders. This was the heart of what they said, of how they built this country. The principles upon which they built the country were principles of individualism. That every man is sovereign. Every woman is sovereign. Every person has equal rights, not special rights, not group rights. But individual rights. They are to be upheld among all rights as more important than anything else. And it makes it very clear in here, if I could go through this and help you understand it, if you really haven't struggled with this, but really what they're saying is government has been instituted to protect those rights, and that's it. Their first and foremost motivation and compilation is to protect those rights, to preserve those rights. When they swear to uphold and defend the Constitution, this is what they're swearing to uphold and defend. Some of them go into office to change the Constitution, which is what they're attempting to do now. Interesting that right after Canada's, and they're still in their lockdown, by the way, you can't leave the country unless you're vaccinated in Canada right now. You can't leave the country. Which is weird. That seems weird to me. Can't get out. And guess what? We're going to take away your handguns. They are essentially capping the sale of all handguns. Sale, transfer, anything else of handguns. How does that work? Well, that eventually means that within a certain amount of, within one generation, there will be no handguns anymore. You can't transfer them to another family member. So when that person dies, they're gone. They take the guns away. That sets the whole thing in motion. Of course, they can't have rounds in a rifle, I think more than 5 rounds, something like that. I don't know how this happened. I don't know whether this was done via legislation through Parliament there, or if it was just Trudeau's thing, he just came out and did it. I'm not sure exactly how that all happened. You see, they don't have a Second Amendment in Canada like we do here. They didn't have a founder's. They were still under the Queen. There. So that was not our thing here. They were that's an extension of British rule there. That's what you're seeing. So there was no. You know, and in order for them to really crack down and take control of the masses, they have to take their guns away. So that's what's happening now. Now, I want to put into some perspective what happened in Texas. And this is, you're going to think I'm heartless and that I'm, and this is where the Republicans have it all wrong. But hear me out on this, because at the end of this, I want to explain to you why this is so important. 19 children were killed, 2 teachers, 21 people were killed, and the assailant. All of them, every single one of them, including the assailant, it is a tragedy that this happened to all of them. The assailant's life was precious as well, and sadly, it needed to be ended. It's too bad this young man could not have gotten help. It's too bad that he was influenced in whatever way he was influenced or abused or whatever happened to this guy. That's where the tragedy is. And it affected so many other people's lives. He made his choices. But sometimes the choices we make are out of desperation because we don't understand the life in general. So whatever happened to him, yeah. Let's put this into some perspective here. We continue to hear numbers, statistics, all this stuff, especially in Canada. Well, the number of mass shootings that happen in America, there's so many more. Now, of course, there was another one, I guess, in Tulsa where some guy got mad at his doctor and he ran in and killed four people. This was just a vengeance killing. This was not just a random act of violence. This guy was, he was out to murder his doctor, and he was going to kill anybody who got in his way. That's a very different kind of crime than what we had going on. Just a random, go into a schoolhouse and shoot up children. That's insanity. We have to put things into perspective here. We can talk about the crime, the numbers of events that happen in Canada. We can talk about that all day long. Please understand when I say this, and I'm not trying to diminish anything. You have to have some perspective here. Canada has a smaller population than the state of California. All of Canada is about 38 million people. California is 39 million. Just to give you some perspective here, there are over 300 million people in this country, almost 10 times the number that are in Canada. So let's not get too crazy with the way we throw these numbers around. Because it is crazy the way they throw these numbers around. Well, look at what's happening in Canada and look what's happening here and there. And so we have to understand that there's a difference here. Now, these numbers are based on in 2020. I'm not sure what the numbers are now. I'm sure after we've lost, you know, tens of millions of people to COVID, I'm sure those numbers are different. They're talking about arming teachers and how people, oh, I'm opposed to arming teachers. Oh, I'm opposed to that. Can't arm teachers. You're not going to force. We do this for pilots, folks. We do it for pilots. We arm pilots. It's not a mandatory thing to arm a pilot. It's voluntary. The federal flight deck officers for pilots after 9/11, this was a very, and unfortunately right after 9/11, or right before 9/11, the government actually made it, they actually stopped the program they had for arming pilots because of the hijackings that were going on. Because in the 70s, they actually gave permits to pilots. The FAA actually was authorized with being able to arm certain individuals that applied for being able to carry a firearm as a pilot. Now it is under the TSA. It's under the Homeland Security thing for the armed pilot thing, which is a federal flight deck officer. These pilots are primarily, they're there for pilots to be a pilot. However, they volunteer their time and their money to go get certified so they can carry a sidearm on the flight deck. And when they're on the flight deck, they are a federal officer with that gun. And the terrorists don't know who's armed and who's not. Now, probably most of the time, there's no federal flight deck officer. But you wouldn't know it. You won't get told. Cabin passengers aren't told when there's a federal flight deck officer up in the cockpit. And that's the whole point. Nobody knows. So nobody's going to try anything because one of the pilots could, or both of the pilots could be armed. You never know. And there could be a federal air marshal on board as well. You never know. That's the whole point. And that's the point of arming teachers. There are plenty of teachers out there, I guarantee you, who would volunteer. Now, there is a program in Ohio, actually. There was a a particular county sheriff, I think, being interviewed there, where they said all the teachers in our county have the opportunity to go through training and have a sidearm. Now, the sidearm is kept in a special safe in their room where they teach. It's a biometric thing. It's, I think it's like a fingerprint safe type thing where they can open that. Only they can open the safe to get to the gun. Kids can't get to it. It's out of their reach. And it's not just going to accidentally go off, or they're not going to drop it or have it stolen from them. But it is there. These kids, we entrust these teachers with our kids every day. Unfortunately, some of them probably shouldn't be entrusted to our kids every day. But the ones who go through the program are arming themselves to protect the children. I say good for them, and let's do more of that. But there are people who absolutely, this one lady on Fox, I think, what's her name? She's kind of a left winger on the Five or whatever she's on, or whatever she's on. And she typically, I don't want teachers being armed in the school. This is a fear of guns. This whole attitude, this whole opinion is based on fear of a sidearm. Not understanding how useful of a tool it is in this kind of a situation. Now, hardening the schools, doing that kind of thing where they have entry points and making sure that the children are safe and that kind of thing, that's important too. We hardened the cockpit doors after 9/11. Made it almost, impossible for people to get through that door, which can be good and bad. And there are some disadvantages to that. However, there was a lot of knee-jerk reactions after 9/11 on things that we did. Some things were good, some things were not. But they recognized that, hey, if you get to the pilots, you've gotten to the airplane. You've got a weapon in your hands that you can run into a building and kill a lot more people. But we need to have some perspective here, including how many people died on 9/11. How many soldiers died when we went to war over 9/11? And then we went into Iraq. And unfortunately, more soldiers died in Iraq than died on 9/11. Than people, civilians, died on 9/11. So perspective sometimes is important to understand. Because every single life, I don't care what organization you think can control my speech, I'm going to say it. Every single life matters. And I think I'm just going to end on that. So as I close this evening, I just want you to continue to pray for the country. Thank you for listening. Thank you for putting up with my rant this evening and how I feel about some things. God is still on the throne. We'll serve Him. Have a great night, everybody. God bless. Thanks for listening. Take care.